Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Homemaker Chic Podcast, and Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays and all that jazz. We're
That's
so glad.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
All that jazz?
All that jazz and all that jazz.
We're so
all
glad
I can think
that
of
you're
that
here
scene
with
from
us.
Christmas Vacation where he says Merry Christmas to all the guys in the hallway. My kids are like, Mom, stop with the Christmas Vacation. It's that time of year.
Yeah. There you go.
All day long. I'm just quoting the movie.
There you go.
Myself.
How are you today, Miss Angela Reed?
So it's Christmas Eve Eve, which means it's 14-year-old birthday Eve.
Yes.
So we are working out our sponge. And then tomorrow we will frost. So it's baking day. It's a creative baking day with Amelie. That's what we do. For her
That's
birthday,
very so. Fun. Christmas Eve baby. That's tough.
I mean, I think I've done a pretty good job of it, but I was informed this year, like, no Christmas themed wrapping paper. Like, I always think, okay, if it's like pink Christmas trees with silver glitter, like that's, but she's like, no, just like normal birthday wrapping paper. Okay, sorry.
Hold on. I'm going to turn my volume up.
Okay.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah. So, she wants a chai. We're going to do a chai cake sponge and then try to decide between like orange or vanilla cream cheese frosting. So,
okay. It's like you're on the Great British Baking Show.
Yeah, we're kind of obsessed with
Did
that
you?
Show,
okay, so. Spoiler.
Yeah, right. Like if you haven't finished the current series, like first of all, get with it. Second of all, turn the volume down.
Yeah, turn the volume down because we're going to talk about it. If you guys haven't watched the Great British Bake Off, you're missing such a great show. Such a great show.
Oh my gosh. It's like I can't get enough. I'm like going back and watching like the holiday ones. I just need something to hold me over till the next one.
I know. And it was such a great season. I was cheering from Giuseppe from the very beginning. And so when he won, I screamed. I shouted. And Stuart thought, you know, I had died.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on?
It was actually skill-wise, to watch the core group of people grow, like, over, like, the last five or six episodes was so entrancing. It was just, you couldn't stop. It was just amazing to watch.
Yeah.
You know they're working on things, you know, when the cameras aren't on, and there's all this probably growth happening behind the scenes, and when it comes out in each episode, it's incredible. I mean, we were pretty from like the first episode, we were like, okay, we loved us some Jürgen. Okay?
Yeah.
And then Giuseppe. And then once he was dropped, then you're like, okay, well, it has to be Giuseppe because he's just freaking amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a good, if you guys don't know what we're talking about, it's on Netflix is how we watch it. Mm-hmm. But so it's 12 amateur bakers. British bakers, and they just get into a tent and they just do these baking challenges. But I love how they do their challenge. I hate any kind of contestant show in the US. They're just the dramatic lighting and the aggressive music and like the cutthroat stabbing in the back, and like they're terrible. And that's all that's on Food Network.
Okay.
You know, like, yeah, Chopped. And it's just terrible. And this is just peaceful British countryside. Everyone's cheering each other on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's none of the drama. It's just
no.
So
it's
enjoyable.
It's all actually like inside jokes. Mm-hmm. You know, like they're all digging on Paul Hollywood, and then you know what's her name's love. She likes all her stuff nice and boozy, and you know, it's just like this camaraderie, and very enjoyable.
So
and the
fun.
One guy that made it to the end, Chiggs, like. Mm-hmm. He just started baking a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first few episodes, you were like, why are you here? And then by the end, he was just killing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Let that be an encouragement, homemakers.
Right?
If you are not a baker, and I put myself under that umbrella, I bake bread, not the same thing as patisserie, which makes me want to gouge my eyeballs out. You should have seen me. I was making eclairs. I think I shared this, but I was making eclairs for a church party. I'm messaging Angela, like, how flat is it okay Like, can I squirt when I put stuff, inside in it?
Will that puff it up a little bit?
What's going on here?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. No, Angela and I, if we ever lived together, I mean, you are an amazing cook. But
yeah, but not like you. Like,
I would gladly take those reins if you will just make me some patisserie so sure, I never have no to problem. Squirt anything out of a piping bag ever again. That would be.
Oh my gosh.
That would be great.
Yeah, that's my happy place. I could give like a really big spoiler on something I got you and your girls for Christmas that I haven't shipped yet.
Don't. I haven't shipped your Christmas present yet either. I was hoping that we were doing late ones this year.
Sure, no problem.
As you can see, it's Christmas Eve. Even do you see my stack of wrapping paper here? It's not around the presents. It's still here sitting in my office.
So I went through so much paper. So I bought all this. I'm super paper particular.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a wrapping paper snob. So I just start getting all like huffy and puffy at the stores when they're really cheesy and there's nothing pretty to choose from.
Yeah.
It doesn't bring out good qualities. It's like the self-checkout lane.
Yep.
<It's> like, probably. Yep.
I chose probably this really pretty one. This is what my father-in-law left after wrapping his presents.
Okay.
But I got just a nice red tartan.
Mm-hmm.
So did I. That's what we're going with this year.
I thought I bought enough to do all my magazines because I sold like magazine bundles gift wrapped and my children's presents, and turns out I used all the pretty stuff on Old World magazines. So I had to go out again, and it was like, you know, Christmas chihuahua wrapping paper. No, just, for my family. Oh. You know, just kidding. I did find some stuff, but dang.
Well, here we are.
Here we are.
We're here. Homemakers, got my tree. We are here.
Yep.
I love it. I sat down last night. So our company left. So we've had company for 6 weeks now. We've had a trailer parked in our driveway, and we've had people kind of coming and going, and my brother-in-law sort of been popping in and out because it was my father-in-law who was here. So obviously they wanted to spend time together. And so we've had a lot of company, a lot going on these last 6 weeks. And work has been difficult because I feel like for the homemaker, like when it's my family here, I kind of know how to grind out my work around them in an appropriate way. But when you have company as a homemaker, you're kind of on, you know? Yeah. Is there poop smeared on the toilet? Is there toilet paper?
Right.
You know, dishes, just you're kind of thinking about different things. You're kind of vibing in a different way, you know? Mm-hmm. So I sat down to do my email, not for the first time in 6 weeks, but in a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my inbox was filled.
I can't even.
Oh, with messages from y'all. And it lifted my spirits so much. And would you believe that in this particular grouping of emails, there actually wasn't one that was mean. Just really nice, guys. I like sat by the fire and I read these emails and what the Homemaker Chic community has sort of been to you this last year, and the thing that it's this things that's it
you the can
things
do it,
that it has inspired you to do,
yeah,
you know, in your own homes. It absolutely filled my heart with Christmas cheer. I mean, it's
amazing. And just that you, our lovely audience, like you take the time, like these aren't just like one-liner, two-liner emails. These are very well scripted, thoughtful,
yeah,
vulnerable. They're really a treat. They are really a treat. And for Shay and I just sitting here, you know, we're just in our offices, and there's like we can hear the thumping and the chaos going on out there, and we're just trying to look at each other on the screen and engage with each other so that when you watch the video version it's appealing. And it's really easy to think like this is just happening right here, or like you and I are just on a FaceTime call or something, and we just forget the worldwide and then worldwide / very personal aspect of the show. It's hard to, I think it's not even forget, I think it's hard to sort of comprehend when you're the one sitting behind the microphone.
Oh, yeah. It completely is. And we both are podcast listeners, so we know what it's like to listen to an episode of something and just have it put a fire in your belly
for sure.
Something. And You never know when that's going to hit somebody because we're recording this now, but somebody might listen in a week or in 2 weeks or in 2 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's...
Oh, speaking of, let's kill a bird. Kill two birds with one stone. Did you get the email a long time ago? This is totally off topic, but I'm going to do it now because you just jogged my memory. We talked about, we were talking about books. We did an episode this year about favorite books that we're enjoying. And I mentioned the book, These Is My Words, mm-hmm. and it's like a pioneer sort of journal. And then you mentioned one too. And we have a listener that wants to know what the one you mentioned was. Like stories from pioneer women or something like that?
Oh, the Westward Journey, or Women's Diaries of the Westward Journey, I think is what it's called. That I just gave that back to my mom because her mom gave it to her and she was insistent that I not keep it.
Okay.
Special.
Well, there you go, listener.
Women's Diaries.
I typed her back. I'm like, I don't know if she's answering emails during the holidays, and this is my last day. But I know my book. I just don't remember the name of hers.
So. That was a great book. And I'll tell you what, man, you realize how thin your skin is.
That'll humble you when you're complaining about your washing machine.
Oh my word, won't it ever? And you know what? It's good to be humbled. We're humbled all the time as a homemaker. But I actually want to read an email that we got. Okay. Because, you know, we're not shy. You and I aren't shy about our beliefs and why it is that we do what we do and why mm-hmm. we think it's important. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a reason for that. So I have this friend, Lynn, and she and I met on the internet ages ago. And she had emailed me about the podcast. I had emailed her back. And then she sent this back this morning. And I think that this really does hit on why does it resonate with people? Why we've been blogging for over a decade, you know, both of us. And yes, these things are sort of important. And we've talked about homesteading and we've talked about, you know, gardening. But like none of the work that I've done with the Elliott Homestead has been as impactful as the Homemaker Chic work has.
Right.
And it's talking to the homemaker. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a reason for that, you know. Anyway, I think Lynn kind of hit on it. So Lynn, I hope that this is okay that I'm reading your email. Okay, so Lynn is also a Christian. So this comes from a Christian perspective, but I do think that, and we've shared this before, you know, we have words written on our heart and they bear our image. We are created by our creator and, mm-hmm. you know, we can suppress that all we want, but that truth is there and it's written on our hearts. So we know goodness when we see it. We know love when we see it. We know purpose when we see it. So, okay. This is what Lynn says to me. Y'all continue to express and stand strong in your faith. What we do in this life only has meaning when we do it on the basis of Jesus's sacrifice for us. We love out of his abundance given to us. We serve because he served. We give because he gave. He forgave. We can forgive because he forgave us. If we, and you both touch on this when talking about the heart and gratitude, consider that we, quote, get to instead of, quote, have to, our perspective would change. We get to run our home. We get to set the tone for our home. We get to depend on the Lord to sustain and build us up emotionally and mentally and spiritually. We get to cook for ourselves and our loved ones. We get to clean the home we've been blessed with. We get to love those out with us and under our charge. We get to be selfless. We get to do these things and we feel like it's too much or that others don't appreciate it. We have to take on this burden we have to take on this burden. We return to a Savior that for the joy set before him endured the cross for us. And I just love that because it is the heart posture. And again, mm-hmm. we're all going to be coming to this from different walks, different belief systems. I know we have a lot of listeners who think differently than we do about that. We can only speak to what we know, what we believe. Mm-hmm. And man, that is so very much how I hope to enter Christmas, you know, this time of anticipation of this coming, mm-hmm. this new arrival, this new life. We just passed the winter solstice, the turning of the year. The light is coming.
Right.
Literally and figuratively. Yeah. You know, the light of the world. And anyway, it really set my heart in a beautiful posture for going into even January. Like, this is a get to.
Yeah.
Would you rather not have a family to cook for or clean up after? Would you rather not have a home to clean?
Right.
Would you rather have no sacrifices that needed to be made so you could just wallow in your selfishness all day?
Right.
Nice as that may sound for a moment. Anyway.
True. No, it's true. It's very true. I mean, if you close your eyes and you let your mind just covet everything and go everywhere it wants to go, you know, financially or, freedom quit, people quit bugging me or, you let it go. You're bored pretty quick. You know, if you let your imagination go, you see where the boredom is coming on the horizon, and it's coming very quick. And like you said, would you rather not have those things? And that doesn't take away from any of our struggles. We acknowledge the struggles and the mundane and the slop and the boogers on this show, but with privilege comes responsibility. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you have to, and I even had to tell myself this, just with the act of having company, because we shared about this on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. When we open our homes to people, we give up comfort so that they can have some. We offer them comfort in our stead. Mm-hmm. So it might not be super comfortable to you to share a bathroom with more people, but you're giving up your comfort so that they can have it, so that they can come and rest and you can enjoy fellowship together. And whether that's for a meal or that's for an extended period of time, the point is, like, at least for the Christian, the struggle isn't just for the struggle's sake. The mundane isn't just for the mundane's sake. The cleaning isn't just for the cleaning's sake. It's all for something greater. And ultimately, it's to make us more like Christ. Mm-hmm. Okay? So for me to say, I give up my comfort for you, that's ultimately what Christ did on the cross in a, minute way. I don't have to bear this burden, but I'm bearing this for you. Why? Because I love you, because I want to serve you in this way. Mm-hmm. You know, we got an email about this, and it was a young woman who was married, and her husband came from this large Italian-Irish family. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of them, and they were loud, and she really struggled just with, people coming in and what that meant for her home and their germs on the shoes and the extra dishes, and they'd stay past when she'd want them to stay. Like, how do I get over this? Am I a lost cause? Hmm. And I think that's what we're talking about in terms of training your heart. And take heart, listener. Like, your heart can be changed.
Yes.
It really can be. You have to talk to yourself and say, the germs on my carpet from my visitor's shoes, like, this is my comfort for theirs. And I promise you, it will get better. It will get better, but you have to do it. Anyway.
Yeah, and change doesn't come about in anything that we do in our life. Change doesn't come about in moments of rest, of inactivity, or you can contemplate all you want. Change comes in action.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's just, slow. And I use this analogy, but it's slow. Really helpful to me, because every single time I work out, I don't want to do it. There's not one time where I'm like, man, I just can't wait to go be in pain.
Right.
And when I started 7 months ago or 8 months ago, whenever it was, like, this encourages you. I started deadlifting with a PVC pipe. Okay. Like, that's how weak I was. And my trainer wanted to make sure that I got the right form before I tried to lift any heavy weight. So in our analogy, like, don't think that you're going to put on an 8-course spread, right? Like, that's expert level. You got to start simple, start by having your husband's friends over after the ball game, or like, start by having play dates over at your house with friends instead of at the park, start with these smaller things.
Yeah.
And then every time you go, every time you do it, you are able to add some weight, just a little bit, Maybe that means that we'll do a play date and then we invite the parents over for dinner to end the play date. Or maybe that means that we open the invitation to somebody that we don't know to come and sit at our table. Or like, it, we've said this 1,000 times, but it is a muscle. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just about, sometimes too, you are doing the things, and it's as little as making sure there's a smile on your face while you're doing them. Some people are already in the motion of, you know, the hospitality and the other things that we've talked about on this show. And maybe they just need to put a little glimmer in their eye while they're doing it. Maybe that's their next step for growth there. Mm-hmm. And I would say that even to myself, because I have a serious case of RBF. And and if I am not smiling, or then it looks like something is really, really wrong. And I know that can even make people that you have over, that you're taking care of, uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's just about our countenance when we're just doing the mundane or the holidays. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think about, you know, in Proverbs 31, when she's clothing her children, she doesn't just clothe them. She clothes them in scarlet, mm-hmm. okay? And she doesn't just serve. She serves cheerfully. Mm-hmm. So this is a heart thing. This isn't just like a, hey, my hands did the thing that they were supposed to do. The right. end. Mm-hmm. Mm, no, not the end.
Sorry about that.
Sorry. This isn't something you tick off your to-do list, okay? We certainly have those kinds of things as homemakers. Like, I need to tick doing laundry off the list. But that's not the same as putting your heart in the right posture. And we're going to enter kind of a difficult season, I feel like, for the homemaker, because it's cold outside. Mm-hmm. People are inside a lot more. Right. People aren't getting together quite as much, so we tend to spend a lot more time in solitude, you know, mm-hmm. especially, like, as a family. So this is a great time, dear listeners, to set your heart in a good posture. Do you kind of have like a method for how you go about that? If your heart is in the wrong place, like, how do you set it right?
I don't know. I don't have a method. I mean, like what I just said, mostly what gets my attention is I realize the face that I'm making. Like, I'm not being very, very pleasant. And then I suppose after that, I do kind of say to people around me, is there something I can do for you? Something you need? You know, if I see somebody on the couch, like, I'll bring a blanket over to them. I try to do an action, something that's like some small act of service, whether it's putting something away that somebody needs to take care of, or covering someone with a blanket. Can I refill your coffee? Like, try to get out of myself for a minute. Cause when you're malcontent or doing something when your heart's in a bad place, for me, like, I have to do something, action to, I can't just like have a pep talk or something. It requires action for me. So mm-hmm. usually it's just something little, just an observation of a need that can be met. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I found too, and I have found that I really genuinely do have to pray through it oftentimes. Like, sustain me. Mm-hmm. Just sustain me, you know, because you think about things that people have endured, the hardships that people have mm-hmm. endured. You know, my mind always goes to, like, you know, Jews hiding underground for 2 years during, right. You know, like, it goes to these really difficult, difficult circumstances, yeah. martyrs, you yeah. know, like, I heard this story. I should remember this name, but it was somebody who, it was a Christian martyr who was so convicted about infant baptism that they were, like, put down a well and just kept there for, like, 6 years in the dark or something. I mean, and they just wouldn't renounce their view. Anyway. Like, that's where my mind goes, to these really mm-hmm. difficult positions. And then you do hear about these people coming out of them, and they're actually, like, joyful. Mm-hmm. Like, why can't I just mop the floors then with joy?
Yeah, seriously. I know. Then, like, I mutter too. So then I'll just mutter, seeking forgiveness. Like, Lord, my heart is rancid. I'm sorry. Yep. I can feel it. I can feel that it's rancid right now. Help me. Mm-hmm.
We talked about this on last week's episode too, about talking to yourself versus listening mm-hmm. to yourself.
And I think that's really hit home with a lot of people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's true. Mm-hmm. And it's something you can actually, like, I'm sour. What's making me sour? Oh, well, I really wanted to have some alone time with Stuart tonight. And now this neighbor stopped by, and now he's needing us to help pull something out, or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so now we're going to have to go be out in the cold in the dark. And what I really wanted to do was XYZ. Okay, well, sorry. Like, get over it. Get over yourself. When you're able to just look at a situation and your feelings are valid, it's not that you're not allowed to have feelings.
Yeah.
But your feelings are not allowed to rule you.
Right.
Your feelings are the wild horse and you have to learn how to ride it. Okay? You have to learn how to train it and direct it, not just let it go off a cliff with you.
Yeah. I think people get really caught up in like feeling badly about the feelings. Like they don't have permission to have them. And
right.
You have permission to have them. It's just what you do with them.
Right.
Because you're usually not neutral. You're going to do one thing with them or the other. Mm-hmm. You're either going to make a good choice or a bad choice. You're going to lean into them and have a pity party, or you're going to acknowledge them, like you said, with your time with Stuart. Okay, where can I do it then? And now I'm going to do XYZ, and I'm going to do it with a smile. And the bugger about all of this is it just takes self-discipline. And
it does. And it also takes somewhere to go with them. I mean, and I can only speak to my situation because that's all I.
As a believer.
Right? No, but like I take them to the Lord and I'm like, here's how I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. And I know that this is actually sin because I am being selfish right now. And I'm told to give thanks in all things. I'm told to work with a cheerful heart, not just ticking stuff off the list. And there's a reason for these things. Mm-hmm. There is. And so in believing that, believing that God's sovereign, meaning he ordains everything that comes to pass, all of it, even the booger on the wall, you know, that booger's there because the Lord ordained it to be so.
So reverent.
And somehow that booger is meant to make me more like Christ. And so that was really helpful when you're having to endure something really terrible. Mm-hmm. Like I am enduring this thing somehow to be made like Christ, which is the ultimate. And when you're in a culture that's saying you're here for your happiness.
Yo,
wow. Right. Roadblock.
Yeah.
Like, why is the booger there then? Because that doesn't make me happy.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know quite how people sustain that. I don't think they, you know, none of us do it perfectly, obviously.
But yeah.
Oh, goodness. Okay, change of pace here.
Sure.
Guess what I got into my hand yesterday?
What you got into your hand?
I should rephrase that. Guess what I was able to hold in my hand yesterday?
Not a booger. I don't know. Wait, what am I supposed to be?
I didn't tell you this.
Okay, I don't know.
You know how? No guesses?
No, I don't know if we're going to go to home design here or we're going to go to like somebody's new baby. I don't know where we're going with this. I'm at a total loss. You're going to have to give me a little bit of a hint.
I got the permit for our new toilet.
Oh my gosh. I guess I could have figured that out.
And then in God's sovereignty.
Oh no.
I looked at the weather report because the concrete company says we're game so long as the ground's not like a deep, deep freeze. We can do it.
Uh-huh.
Praise God. We get the permit. I check the weather report. It doesn't go above 9 degrees next week.
Yay.
1 degree, 0 degree, 3 degrees, 1 degree, 9 degrees, 1 degree.
Oh my gosh.
That's very cold.
That's very cold.
I don't know what that is in Celsius, but that's very cold.
That's so super cold.
Yeah. I can only assume that it's for my good. If you're feeling stuck in your kitchen, uninspired, and frankly not loving the food that you've been putting on the table, I want to personally invite you to join the Elliott Homestead cooking community. Visit cook.theelliotthomestead.com to get started. As a cooking community member, you will get 5 farm fresh inspired recipes each month created from my farm kitchen and delivered straight to you. I'll also send you a thorough instructional video showing you how to create the dish in your own kitchen with tips, tricks, and pointers to help you learn new skills and advance in your cooking abilities. The cooking community is designed to get you passionate about good food, to get you fired up, to get you skilled up, to get you excited about cooking and serving up delicious whole food-based dishes on your table. Visit cook.theelliotthomestead.com right now. Choose the membership package that's right for you and let's get cooking. Also, if you're looking to give a gift this holiday season, I'd love for you to visit cook.theelliotthomestead.com/a-la-carte. That's a la carte to shop a few special recipe packages of various sizes and topics that are perfect for gifts and come with a physical gift card in the mail. Let's get cooking. Angela and I would like to invite all of our Homemaker Chic listeners to stock up right now on the beautiful flowers, baking gifts, and olive oils provided by our longtime friends at Jovial Foods. Visit jovialfoods.com and fill your cart with rich and buttery einkorn flour, the only wheat variety that's never been hybridized, and a flour that even those with a gluten sensitivity can often digest with ease because of its weak gluten. Einkorn flour is the flour that we bake our everyday breads and all our holiday cookies and cakes with. JovialFoods.com also sources the freshest, most beautiful olive oil available to those of us who want a taste of Italy on our table. I've been to these groves and I've watched how this olive oil was pressed. Its freshness is absolutely divine. The special olive oil makes the most wonderful gift and is only available while supplies last. So visit jovialfoods.com and fill your cart with ruby red jarred Italian tomatoes, cannellini beans, einkorn flour, cookies, crackers, wheat berries for grinding your own flour, and this year's special olive oil.
Is it just that seems cold for you? Do you guys usually have that cold?
Yeah. It seems a little early, but
yeah.
Yeah. It's okay. Going to be very, very cold. I'm actually quite worried about the sheep because I have a couple that really like to throw early lambs for whatever reason. And God help them if they birth a lamb in 1 degree weather. I mean,
oh,
yeah. Anyway.
Oh, ours are always like Easter morning. Surprise.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Yep. That's perfect. Now, last year, Eleanor went in the end of December.
Oh.
So. Anyway,
yeah, that would not be good around here.
We are permitted now.
Okay.
So, which is just, you know, great news.
How long will it stay there? I mean, how long does it take the ground? Like, I checked yesterday and I stood on a pitchfork and like jumped on it and I could still go in the ground.
Yeah.
And we've had cold. I mean,
yeah.
11 degrees, you know. I wonder how long it takes to actually really freeze.
I feel like ours really freezes in mid-January.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know at this point. I mean, it still could very much be a spring project, which if that's the way that it's going to be, then there's not much I can do about it now.
Your basement flooded.
Oh my gosh, you guys.
And you didn't tell me anything about it. You just said, like, you were listing your woes in a text message and you said, and our basement flooded. What happened?
Well, it was just a real pinnacle of events because my father-in-law was leaving and uh-huh. I was emotional. You know, challenging as these sort of situations are, and he was an easy guest. I was emotional about him leaving because I'm so grateful that my children got the time with their granddad and, you know, Stu got to have his dad here. Jeremy was coming, or my brother-in-law was coming because mm-hmm. he wanted to spend the last few days with Gary. And so we were preparing for that and what we wanted to do while he was here. I started my period, like just a good old fashioned period in a bathroom with 8 people at this point,
Yay.
8 people. Which was great until I realized like I left some blood on the roll of toilet paper. So that was really nice. And I'm just like, here we are. Like we are living life to the fullest. And then so we dug the hole for the addition and the rebar's in there. Like they literally just have to show up with the concrete and pour it in. Because we had gotten to this point before we realized the permitting situation.
Okay.
So this
the
is
hole's
where,
dug.
The hole is dug. This is okay. where my washing machine drains.
Okay.
So we had to divert the washing machine drain to go further out into the field. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, there was a low spot in the pipe. It's got so cold here that it filled with ice. So I ran my washing machine. My washing machine drained, instead of down the pipe, into my basement. all over Stu's art stuff, all over ironed linens and clean laundry and guitars and amps and carpet. And this all happened. And I just like, I actually laughed. I either punch a wall or laugh. This one made me laugh because it was like, I had felt so sustained by the Lord. Like, we made it. We did this hard thing. We finished out school. Like, we did it.
Yeah.
And then it was like, you think you're to the summit, sister? You're not. Level two.
Oh, my gosh.
Level two. I was talking to my friend Natalie about this. And, you know, she was just saying, in the process of our lives, you don't. It's not like you just conquer level one and then you just get to like hang out in the winner's circle. You get through level one, you go to level two. Mm-hmm. You get through level two, you go to level three. You know, I mean, it really is a training. It's a training. And that was like the next level. That was really difficult.
Hmm.
Here we are. We made it.
Here we are. Yeah, I'll be glad when it's tomorrow.
Yes. I'm looking forward
to tomorrow. I'm looking forward to Saturday. I'm looking forward to seeing my kids open their presents. Every day Joel's feeling a little bit better and better. Thank goodness.
You didn't tell people what happened to Joel.
Oh, he had hernia surgery last week.
Mm-hmm.
Last Wednesday. So I'll be glad when I don't have to see him in his pajamas anymore. Last night, I asked him, I'm like, how many more days do you think you're going to wear pajamas? And then like 2 hours later, Amelie asked him, and he's like, what's going on? She didn't know I had already asked him that. I don't know, just clothing.
Yeah, just miss seeing you in pants.
Exactly.
So what's your guys' Christmas Eve? What's that going to look like?
Well, it's Amelie. It'll be birthday, so it doesn't really look like much.
So you don't do Christmas Eve? You don't like
no?
Okay.
I mean, we usually go to church in the evening, and then it's because it's her birthday, and then she's like requested leek potato soup, and she gets to put in all her food requests for the day, and we'll finish decorating the cake and just I just try to make it as much about her as possible because she can't help it. She was born on Christmas
Eve. I know. So poor child.
Yeah. Poor child. And I told the kids, they're like, a lot of times I'll cave and let them open stockings on Christmas Eve. I said, don't even ask this time because like a lot of the things that are in the stockings are indicative of the bigger presents under the tree. Like, we're not going to do that because then all night long it'll be like so weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you open part of your present in the stocking and.
Yeah.
So I am looking forward to Saturday morning. That'll be fun. And I told them this morning, I'm like, get your bedrooms clean. Because like, if you're bringing in new merchandise, the bedrooms have to be clean. Mm-hmm. Get it done.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep. They're really good at that. But they like, then they take all the garbage and all the schmutz in the room and they like broom it into a pile and then it just stays there.
So it can please be re-schmutzed back out.
Please take the dustpan up and finish. Please. Thank you. After that, it's just like, we're just going to chill. Got my autoresponder on my email and just like we're unplugging. So.
Mm-hmm. I love that period between Christmas and New Year's.
So do I. It's just like the big giant permission slip to do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to finish reading my book. I'm halfway through the new Outlander book.
Has anyone died yet?
Pace myself.
Huh? Has anyone died yet?
I'm not telling you.
You are a
monster.
That's
not fair to people that are listening that don't have it yet. Not telling you anything. Not telling you
anything. I tend to take my Outlander in surges. I like surge and then I have to like emotionally retreat for a couple years and then I can take another hit and then I have to emotionally retreat.
Well, I mean, I like this book, for crying out loud, been waiting since the last one she wrote was 2014. And then in 2018, she said she was writing another one.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a long wait. Very long.
It makes me, you know, one of the things that makes me really sad about Outlander is that it gives you this idea. Granted, it's fiction, but like Stuart's
family. Is it though?
Stuart's family comes from Scotland, and there's a lot of great family stories and history and heritage, mm-hmm. Especially as Presbyterians. You know, the Scottish Presbyterians were like some of the first slaves to come over to America. They were exiled from Scotland. Yeah. Like, you want to be Presbyterian? Get out of here. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of heritage there that you learn from and stories that you follow up on. And, you know, mm-hmm. we have children named after some Scottish reformers. So, like, it kind of runs deep. And then you look at Scotland today and you're like, what happened?
I think you can look at Europe on the whole and say what
happened. I'm sorry, men of Europe. Like, where have you gone?
Yeah.
Like, you want me to believe that Jamie came from the same line of people that are currently running Scotland?
True.
It's true.
It is true.
What on earth? Sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
Speaking of, this again, change of subject. This is what happens with these free fall conversations.
Free fall?
Free form? I was going to say free ball, but then I was like, don't say that. Free That's ball. Not classy.
I say that all the time.
I was thinking about kilts. It just, that's where my mind went.
Free ball. They are free balling when they wear a kilt. So what are you going to do?
Homemaker chic. That's not very classy. Oh my God. Talking about free balling under kilts.
Still doing it. Still talking about it. Someone did email us and say, like, if you don't, girls don't class it up, I'm going to be done listening. I'm like, oh. Sorry. I can't. Sorry. No promises.
But I talk about kilts and blood on toilet paper, and here we are. Okay, so we were watching this Netflix documentary about like weightlifters, strongman competitions.
Like I said, the stuff you watch cracks me up. You're watching like biking steroid people.
I know. You would not look at my, and then there's like Agatha Christie and Poirot. You know? It's one or the other. Anyway, strongman competition, which is so fun. I mean, these men are brutes. It's not for show, right? This isn't like Mr. Olympia or something. Mr. Olympia.
I don't know. Shit.
It's not bodybuilding. This is like strong men. This is men in kilts, man. You know, like the Scottish Games.
Highland Games.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Love
anyway,
that kind of stuff.
So there's this guy, and he currently holds the world record for a deadlift, and it was like 1,080 pounds.
Holy crap.
1,080 pounds. And anyway, so this is the story of him hitting that deadlift.
Okay.
But that was just a couple years ago, and it's already been beaten out by this Scandinavian man named Thor. Listen.
Of course.
If you're going to name your kid Thor, he better look like this man.
He better be a badass.
He was like 6'9", blonde, chiseled. I mean, his jaw was chiseled. His body was like a
hammer
tree. It was like a tree. And he apparently crushes this guy's record. So he has the deadlift. But Stu is like, this is your lineage. Like, these are the people that you come from. I'm like, yeah, they're monsters. Look at them. Oh my
gosh.
Like, there was a reason that they could rape and pillage. And it was because they were giants. They won. Like, I'm not saying I agree with it, obviously. I'm just saying.
I am reading, you know, because I'm on a Scandinavian kick now. It happens every winter because of where I live. I just go all Scandinavian. Where is it? I'm reading this fun book called North.
Okay.
How to Live Scandinavian. I like humorous, like, how-to guides. This is just it's very entertaining to me because of where we live. It, like, goes through, like one page is how to be Danish, and then one page is how to be Swedish, one page is how to be Norwegian, and what Scandinavian means and what Scandinavian means to each of the people living in those countries. Mm-hmm. It's really fun. So it'll be like, if you're Danish, you do this, you do this, you do this with a little bit of ABBA. And if you're Swedish, you do this with a touch of ABBA. Like, it's just, you know how I feel about ABBA. Like, and it's so funny too, because here now that it's winter, like that's all we're playing. The kids, like, we love ABBA, and they had the new album this year and super fun.
But this book is very amusing, and it does. It's talking about like all their history and kind of all the little sticking points, like what the Danes don't like about the Swedes and vice versa. And I think you'd find it amusing.
Oh, it's yeah. Cute. It's a cute book. Mm-hmm. I should listen to that. That would be really fun. So another documentary I watched.
Oh, my gosh.
No, this is it ties into what you were saying.
Okay.
So there's this little studio in Sweden, and it was staffed by a bunch of Swedish writers who were writing pop music.
Okay.
Okay. And in English. And so they were writing these pop songs in English, and they end up becoming the complete it spot for pop music to come and to so like Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, Britney Spears, like they wrote all those songs. Swedes wrote all those songs. They produced it all. And so it all does have a certain sound. But they were talking, what made me laugh was they were like, you know, their English is their second language. And so like some of the things that they write don't make sense. Like the Hit Me Baby One More Time. Like that doesn't really make sense in English.
Right.
Like it sort of makes sense, sort of doesn't make sense. But it, so if you listen, I listened to a lot of Backstreet Boys and NSYNC back in the day, okay?
Okay.
Like there are certain, like I Want It That Way, a huge Backstreet Boys hit. Mm-hmm. Like, Want It What Way? And you realize, like the song never really explains it. And so, anyway, it was like this crazy Swedish music phenomenon. Mm-hmm. And ABBA is where it started.
Yeah. It is, for sure. And my girls would be able to give this quote to you and tell you which of the band members said it. But he does say something about, like, you know, write a great song and then put the most ridiculous lyrics to it, like Waterloo, and the American audience will gobble it up.
Yeah.
Like, they knew that.
Oh, they figured out the formula pretty quick.
Chiquitita, you know, Waterloo, like, all these weird songs. Like, that's true. They have, like, these... Mm-hmm. They like make sense because you want them to make sense. But they're fun, but you're like, why are we singing about Waterloo again?
What's really going on here?
Right? We're singing about the Alamo? Wait, what?
You know? So good. I still can't help myself. You guys, I love trashy pop music.
I never liked the Backstreet Boys. Like, I was probably, I hate to say it, too old. Like,
yeah, you were too old.
I just, no.
No, I just love pop music. I even love pop music now. Like, this is so bad. My trainer, I was there the other day, and she put on Justin Bieber. I'm like, yeah, girl, I'll work to this. Let's do this. Stuart's just like, what is wrong with you? Like, this is terrible music.
What else are you
going
to work out to? You have to work out to rap or something. Like, what else are you going to work out to?
I actually found this Christian rap, which I know sounds like an anomaly, but my friend Amber recommended it to me because I was like, I need something to grind to when I'm lifting. Yeah, like, something that gets your energy.
My trainer used to play Put Your Back Into It.
That would totally work for me.
It would make me laugh. I'm like, I can't. My abs are giving out. I'm laughing so hard.
I could totally do that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this band was called Beautiful Eulogy. And
oh, I know them.
They're great. I still listen to it. I love it. That's kind of a tangled history a little bit with their pastor. But the band, I love it. It's great rap music to work out to. They do a doxology version that's just fabulous.
Yeah.
If you want to rock out to the doxology.
Yeah. I love the doxology. We sing that. That's a family tradition in our as our evening or meal prayer.
Yeah. Before you sit and eat. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love it, especially when you get a crowd.
Grandpa started that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
It's so good. So good. Some new things for you guys to check out over the winter break. A little
doxology.
ABBA. A little rap doxology.
A little ABBA. My 5-year-old like knows the lyrics to the ABBA songs. My mom and her husband were sitting in the living room. We're all by the fire. We're like having a, you know, conversation. He walks in 2 nights ago and he's like, gimme a man after midnight. My mom's like, I'm sorry, what?
No.
He's 5.
just makes me laugh. And then we have a family room in the basement, and I went down to hang out with the kids the other night, and they had ABBA playing, and he's like singing every word. I'm like, wow, you guys are like, this is what you're listening to down here, mm-hmm. obviously, ugh. All the time.
I do not like ABBA, just for the record.
You don't?
No.
Shay? No. I don't know if we can do this show anymore.
Well, you don't like the Beatles. Get out of here with that ABBA nonsense. Well, just consider it a truce.
Come on. The Beatles are annoying.
The Beatles are not annoying.
I don't like the Beatles. I never have. Well, I know you that makes me are, like. I know. It's like tomatoes. It's like me not liking tomatoes. I'm sorry about it.
You should be.
I just don't.
Okay. Well, I don't like
Paul
ABBA.
McCartney. Bugs the crap out
well,
of me.
Well, Paul McCartney just, and Wings or whatever. No, forget about that nonsense.
No, I just don't like. Yeah, I just.
Don't listen to just Paul McCartney or just
I don't.
John Lennon.
I would never do that to myself.
You could just listen or to George Harrison. That'd be fine. While My Guitar okay. Gently Weeps. Come on.
Okay, fine. But that's not the Beatles.
Well, he wrote that song, George Harrison did, and the Beatles recorded it.
Okay. All right.
If you don't like that song, something's wrong with you.
I'll listen to it. I don't know how you can't like ABBA. Like, I'm actually really upset. Brings me so, that band brings me so much freaking joy. Okay. Like, they make me smile and dance, and I love them.
Okay.
Plus, musically, like, chords and all. Come on. Incredible. Mm-mm.
Sorry. Mm. If I want to, like, rock out, wow. I listen to the Marcus King Band.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
I've sent it to you like 100 times. Like, listen to this song. And you don't even care.
Okay.
I actually think this is probably the most contended point of our friendship. We don't really connect on music, do we?
We don't. Well, we really do.
Like what?
Joss, what's her name? I mean, there's some stuff like we like. There's some stuff that we do, but.
Not very much.
Like you like Pink Floyd. Like, I don't know.
I love Pink Floyd. Maroon 5. We both love Maroon 5.
I love, don't get me, see, Maroon 5 makes me as happy as ABBA does.
Yeah, it's bad pop music. It's bad pop music. Don't let your kids listen
to it. Maroon 5 is not bad pop music.
It is. It's
trashy. You can't put Britney Spears and, well, yeah, it's trashy.
I don't like Britney Spears.
But I'm saying, like, you can't put, like, Britney Spears and Maroon 5 in the same category as far as, like, pop, like, as far as quality.
I mean, it's not high quality music. Music. Like, if we're talking about music, it's not that. It's catchy okay. and it's enjoyable and it's fun and it's, I love it.
But vocal ability, like oh, he's yeah. an amazing vocalist.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I don't think Maroon 5 is going to endure through the ages. I mean, here we are 50 years later. We're still talking about Pink Floyd. I don't think people will be doing that with Maroon 5.
ABBA too.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Still don't like him though.
Oh my gosh. How? Like, now, just remove Dancing Queen from the equation. You don't like any of them songs?
I don't like it. No. Ugh. But my parents didn't listen to ABBA. Like,
my parents listened to
Aerosmith and the Beatles. And
did you know Aerosmith is my favorite band?
No.
Like, I've been to like 3 concerts. Aerosmith, like, I just introduced my 2 oldest kids to Aerosmith last week, actually. I'm like, you want to hear what your mom likes to listen to? What I used to listen to when you were small, and then I quit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those things you can't listen to in front of your kids.
Exactly. You're like, maybe we should pause this for a while.
Yeah, that's how I'm with Shawn Mendes. He's like 5. He's like 5 years old. Way younger than me. And he just makes really enjoyable music, and I love to listen to it, but my children are not allowed to listen to it.
Right? Sorry, kids.
Maybe when you're older. Did they like it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But even Amelie, she's like, because she's a musician. She's like, oh, I can hear what's going on here. I'm like, can't you?
Well, that's when bands like actually used to make music.
Music.
It wasn't like just
hear all the harmonies and yeah, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh yeah.
And another just amazing vocalist. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We listened to a lot of Aerosmith growing up. A lot of the Beatles. Ironically, didn't even mean that. Ironically, Alanis Morissette. That was amazing.
Don't you think?
I say ironically because my dad is like not one for, you know, like angry feminist music.
That was a great album.
But he loved Alanis
Morissette. That Jagged Little Pill.
Jagged Little Pill,
was,
man.
What a phenomenal yep. album. Just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We listened to it on tape.
After that, then she did a song for the City of Angels soundtrack yeah. with Nick Cage and Meg Ryan.
City of Angels broke me. I was way too young and vulnerable to watch that movie. I went when I was like 12.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, for sure. I sang that song for a voice lesson recital. Uninvited. Alanis Morissette. I crushed it.
That's a just saying. An amazing song.
It is. The strings. It's an amazing song.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
My voice teacher's like, what do you want to sing? I'm like, Uninvited.
I shall be singing Alanis Morissette.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. I'm working on a really killer Spotify favorites playlist. I'll share it with the public soon.
Okay.
I've got it up to a couple hours now. But when I garden, like all through the spring and all through the summer, I listen to music. And when I like a song, I got to like run back to the house and get my phone and push the heart before the song's over. And it's pretty good. It's curated pretty well now.
I need to do that. Mm-hmm. That would be nice.
I'll share it with you and then we can relate maybe. But there's going to be
maybe
probably not that much that you like on it. I think it's
we do like some things. I think when it comes to like blues and jazz, we like
blues.
That's
and
where
jazz.
We meet. That's where we meet up.
That's why you would like Marcus King. It's like Southern rock, blues, amazing.
Okay. Did you, what was that guy's name? Mark Gross, Adam Gross. Once this summer I told you about somebody that I had found like on my Sydney Bechet Pandora list.
Okay.
And I was like, you got to check this guy out.
No, I don't know who this is. Let me look.
He sings a song. He wrote it. I mean, like he's like a studio musician. Like,
okay.
I don't think he has that many. Albums. I think he's more like he runs the studio for people and works with people. Crawl in the Walls, I think is the name of the song.
I don't think so.
This song, like that style of like, I guess you're going to call it blues or jazz, about puts me over the edge. Like I can't handle this song. I love the way it sounds so much. I don't know what to do with myself. Like
that's how my whole playlist is on Spotify.
That's what music does to me. I'm every like, what song. Am I supposed to do with? I can't, like, am I supposed to dance? Am I just supposed to smile? Like, this is giving me so many strong feelings. What am I supposed to do with how great I think this sounds?
Okay, everybody who's listening, if you need a song to dance to shake away your, like, to...
Dave Gross. Crawling the Walls, Dave Gross.
Okay, you give them that one, and I'm going to give them one. Okay? But you have to crank it.
That's how this one is. Kay? You have to crank it.
It's called Olala. O-L-A-L-L-A. Olala.
Oh, you mentioned this a while ago. I
know.
And I didn't check
and
it out.
And you didn't listen. By Blanco White.
That
I'm serious.
A silly name. That's like the La Trattoria.
Yeah. It's like Blanc de Blanc. Blanco White.
Okay.
Turn it up as loud as your speaker will go.
Okay.
And just feel it. Let yourself feel it. I get like, I ugly dance when I listen to this song and it feels so good.
Okay. I will do
that. Okay. Let's end it there.
The Dave Gross song just makes me want to go back to New Orleans. I mean, it's just soupy, swampy, fabulous New Orleans. That's
Can
all
we go back there?
Yes, please. Let's do.
Okay. All right. Ladies, Merry Christmas.
Are we going to do like a sponsor shout out or a dry farm or anything?
Oh my gosh.
We did nothing.
Whoops. almost 10 seasons in, y'all. Still.
Yeah, we're amazing. We still have 5 minutes.
Rocking it.
Yeah.
What are you sipping?
Well, I have this. Okay, here's what I have. I have this set aside because we're going to have oysters for New Year's.
Yes.
And I can't. Shay, the reading glasses thing is out of control. Here's me so I can read the stupid.
Oh bottle. My gosh. Angela. This is a new Shut stage up. Of our friendship.
Kiss it.
Homemaker's chic. You're so classy.
Well, I can. If I hold it like right there, like there's where I can read it. I don't want to do that. 70% Chardonnay, 30% Fold Blanche. Loire Valley, sparkling. I used my handy little app. You love my glasses. I don't know. And it said oysters.
Oh, nice.
So
do boom. That.
I'm loving that app.
I know. I oh love that gosh. App so much.
So dryfarmwines.com/homemakerchic. Get a bottle for a penny. Make a good investment into your wine cabinet. And speaking of investment, friends, House of Tokuman is sponsoring this season. We're about to wrap this season up next week. And then we're going to have a fangirl call. So be sure that you're a patron so you can hang out with us. I just got a new rug. I wish I could point the camera down to my office floor so you could see them. But as you're looking at next year and budgeting and making decisions about your home, I really want you to consider the investment
slash better not more aspect of a rug from House of Tokumen, because we're talking about something that is going to last so well. This rug that is gracing my office floor, if you go to the House of Tokumen Instagram feed and you scroll a little bit, probably like in the last 2 weeks, you'll see a navy blue and cream really big rug, and I bought it and it's in here. And this rug is from 1970 and has held up so well. Mm. There is no way, if this rug was bought at Target in 1970, it would be able to be shipped to me, wrapped up in cellophane, unwrapped, and lay here so gracefully and so beautifully. So be sure that you're considering not being penny wise and pound foolish. Is that the expression? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That you're considering the investment aspect when looking at these rugs, because you are going to be thrilled with them. I keep looking down. I wish I could show you what it looks like. It's incredible. I think she's going to feature it on her feed. So thank you so much to House of Tokumen for sponsoring this season. And you can visit them at hotrugs.net, or even better, just follow on Instagram and watch her stories every day, because that's where she's going to show you new rugs.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I just put a new one in my living room too. And I had ordered a couple of neutral rugs a while back from her. And then I bought this one that's like the opposite of neutral. And I'm like, this is me. This is my soul. Like, I cannot even pretend like I live in any sort of neutral territory. I mean, this is like green, blue, yellow, bright, saturated colors. It's an old rug, but it's still very saturated. And cool. I'll send you a picture. I haven't even showed you yet.
I felt like I wanted to give this one a home because it's actually really worn in certain areas.
Yeah.
And she did a post about our culture's fascination with youth and everything being so picture perfect. And I'm looking at this rug and all I see is perfection. Mm-hmm. Even my husband's like, that rug's pretty worn down. I'm like, no, this is a survivor. This rug is beautiful.
I'm a survivor.
Yeah,
speaking of trashy pop music, a little Destiny's Child.
Oh, I rocked that back in the day.
I did rock me some Destiny's Child.
Who didn't?
Come on. All right, ladies. Now, Merry Christmas. Have a great weekend.
Merry Christmas.
Enjoy your time. Savor those beautiful people. Count it a privilege that you get to do the work that you get to do. We'll be trying to do the
same. Absolutely. Okay.
Okay. See you back here on Monday.
Cheers.
Cheers.